Blog Talk Radio.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block long limousine, EO11. EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11. EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find that place down there or heaven. In the meantime, EO, EO, EO 11, EO 11, EO 11. A dream, and I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head. Dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of folding green, EO11, 11. Some judge is gonna say I'm putting you away for 84 years and 7. In the meantime, EO11, 11.
Oh, Jeffrey Epstein, you knew she was 13. James Bostic here. Conservative Perspective, it's Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So you know what we're doing. We're on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com, putting the blah, blah, blah in Blog Talk. You can go there and you can look up Patriot Nation Radio, or you can go to the links that we have liberally besprinkled all over the worldwide web of intrigue and danger. Happy Independence Day, cats. Highlights, and I want to go back to this, and I'm going to keep revisiting it for a while, because in doing so, I have gained an epiphany, if you will, a revelation. And here's what we're going to do. Last week, the biggest, the best, the hugest 4th of July celebration in Washington, D.C. ever is going to be fantastic. It was fantastic. A lot of terrific dynamite people there. Awesome, fantastic, glorious people, terrific people doing all their things. So many stars. You could look up in the sky, but you're not going to see as many stars as you saw in Washington, D.C. Here's some highlights from the president's speech last week on Independence Day in Washington, D.C.
Americans love our freedom, and no one will ever take it away from us. Our nation is stronger today than it ever was before. Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines, and very soon, the Space Force. We will plant the American flag on Mars. It's happening, Gene. It's happening. The Army brought America's righteous fury down to Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and cleared the bloodthirsty killers from their caves. They liberated Fallujah and Mosul and helped liberate and obliterate the ISIS caliphate just recently in Syria, 100% gone. Through centuries, our soldiers have always pointed toward home, proclaiming, "This we'll defend." They live by the creed of Douglas MacArthur: in war, there is no substitute for victory. They are the greatest soldiers on earth. We will always be the people who defeated a tyrant, crossed the continent, harnessed science, took to the skies, and soared into the heavens, because we will never forget that we are Americans and the future belongs to us. We are one people chasing one dream and one magnificent destiny. We all share the same heroes, the same home, the same heart, and we are all made by the same Almighty God. From the banks of the Chesapeake to the cliffs of California, from the humming shores of the Great Lakes to the sand dunes of the Carolinas, from the fields of the heartland to the Everglades of Florida, the spirit of American independence will never fade, never fail, but will reign forever and ever and ever. In 1963, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. stood here on these very steps and called on our nation to live out the true meaning of its creed and let freedom ring for every citizen all across our land. America's fearless resolve has inspired heroes who defined our national character, from George Washington, John Adams, and Betsy Ross to Douglas. You know, Frederick Douglass, the great Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Amelia Earhart, Douglas MacArthur, Dwight Eisenhower, Jackie Robinson, and, of course, John Glenn. It has willed our warriors up mountains and across minefields. It has liberated continents, split the atom, and brought tyrants and empires to their knees.
Oh, wow. Okay, now here's why I'm playing that. Okay, you probably, and I know a lot of you guys, you probably didn't watch it because you were out celebrating. You were out celebrating Independence Day. But here's the thing, and I get so sick of these cats, man. I'm gonna tell you what right now. Here's the deal. And they all said fundamentally the same thing. And I've got one of the guys here. I have no idea who this clown is. I've never heard of him before. He's just another one of these empty-headed, self-insistent coattail riders. Okay, he's just making a career in the eddies and swirls of the president's footsteps, and in order to be in that super cool kid woke club, and he can sit with all the you know, the really cool cats there in the lunchroom, some idiot named Phil Mudd, and what he says is what was said fundamentally across the board, and here's what this idiot had to say.
I do want to get Phil Mudd's perspective on what we just saw, Phil.
Well, let's see. Let me be subtle here. At a professional level, 25 years in national security, I hated it. At a personal level, I hated it more. Let me tell you something. When we're in the midst of July 4th after 9/11, when I was at the CIA, I thought we were celebrating the defense of ideals, the right to live free and fair, the right to live according to those documents that our founding fathers established, the right of every person, every citizen in this country, to pretend like they can be president, the right to have economic opportunity. I didn't realize we were fighting for the chance to pay for guns, for weapons. I did national security. I thought this was about ideals, and now we've made it about the military. That's not what the founding fathers gave us. They gave us the gift of ideals. at a personal level, excuse me, but now we have the Super Bowl is invaded by politics. Players are kneeling. The Women's World Cup is invaded by politics, a dispute about whether women go to the White House. We have a stupid dispute of politics this week about whether Nike puts a flag on a shoe. Can we actually have a day with hamburgers, hot dogs, and a few beers without a politician? Please, one day. And now we can't, because now we got politicians saying, let's celebrate guns and aircrafts and forget about the founding fathers who talked about being cautious with a standing military.
Jesus wept. How about one day with hamburgers, hot dogs, and a few beers without a politician? Philbo, we have one of those. It's called Saturday, you moron. We have them every week. And the founders did not give us freedom. Okay. The Continental Army did. And it's just so, and I know why they're doing it. And they lack the depth of their intellectual well is heartbreaking. Heartbreakingly shallow. All of these people so blinded by their hatred of this outsider, this non-politician who has shook things up and destroying their livelihood. Record unemployment. I saw this the other day. Record unemployment amongst journalists. The guys can't get a job because nobody's reading the papers anymore. Not many people are listening to their crap on TV anymore. Again, and I say this every now and then, and I'm saying it again, the average median age in the United States is about 38 years old, 37 and a half, 38 years old. You guys don't have any idea about Armed Forces Day parades. Maybe a Veterans Day parade here and there, maybe a Memorial Day parade, but Armed Forces Day was a big deal. And I can remember back when there were Democrat presidents, real Democrats like John Kennedy, and real dirty, crooked, conniving Democrats like Lyndon Johnson. I remember being uptown in the streets of Beckley, West Virginia, my hometown, watching armored personnel carriers and M60 Patton tanks and Jeeps with the 50 caliber put in the back of it, going through town. Soldiers of the West Virginia National Guard riding these vehicles, smiling, tossing out candy. American flags. All you young youngsters out there, these cats are lying to you. Now, it is undeniable that America is very much a militarist state, but there are reasons for that, and those reasons have to do with being on the vanguard of liberty. What is the price of peace? Well, the price of peace is eternal vigilance. That means you've got to have a military in a high state of preparation and readiness. There's no other way around. You don't want to use it, but you thank God you have it if you have to. And what's wrong with honoring the men and women in harm's way who allow us to do what we do, who are providing me with the freedom to do this? That provided this idiot Phil Mudd, and by the way, Mudd spelled backwards, dumb. Saw that in the Bugs Bunny cartoon one time, and you know what? It's right. So he can say what he says, Jack Wagon. ''63's inaugural parade for John F. Kennedy. Intercontinental nuclear missiles and their launchers were in the parade. Okay, so here's the thing. What you do not hear at Donald Trump rallies, as well as this celebration, this was not a Donald Trump rally. This was an America rally. And this is where these guys get it, because they go, well, he's just turned it, he just politicized Independence Day. He just turned his thing into a giant Donald Trump re-election campaign rally. The National Mall, the reflecting pool at the National Mall, from one end to the other, filled with tens of thousands of people. I'm not kidding. It was a crappy day in D.C. on July 4th. It was raining. It was hot. It was muggy. And those people were there, man. Were they there to see the president? Yes. Were they there to celebrate this nation? Yes. Why was the president there? Why did he take this over? Because he wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to be some half-ass mailed in. No. He turned the juice on it. Now, all the talking heads, obviously, they hate this cat. I know we got some other things to talk about. Ross Perot died. Epstein, Willie, looking like they're going to run into some trouble along with a whole bunch of other guys. But we're talking about this first. And by the way, I hope you guys had a great 4th of July and holiday weekend. I did. Had a terrific time. We were our battery, you know, I do the Civil War reenactment thing, and we put on a kind of a quasi ad hoc sort of kind of about halfway living history at a lakeside community. Really, really terrific time. Got to meet some nice people. We got to party and play with the cannon, and it was a really nice time, and I enjoyed it tremendously. And I hope you guys had a great weekend too. But I was thinking about this ever since Independence Day, and I watched a lot. You know, I watched the speech later. I didn't watch it during that day, but I watched the speech and I watched highlights from the celebration and the military flyovers, and I saw nothing but, hey, it's America's birthday. I love you so much. We all love you so much, America. We're celebrating with you, honey. We're going to make this your day. And that's what he did. Barack Obama, as I said once before, and y'all don't hate me because I'm preaching good. You know, with Barack Obama, there's a lot of I. We, Americans, our, you heard the president, us, we, our, the group, the collective of citizens, Americans, not I. You, I, us, we, ours. Now, these are the same things that Donald Trump says at his rallies. Now, of course, yeah, obviously he's going to be speaking about I because he's the chief executive and he's going to be communicating to you what he's going to do, what's going to be required of him and the things he's going to have to do to carry out this vision that we put the dude in office for. So to them, yeah, it probably did sound a lot like a Donald Trump rally. But really what it is, it's a Love America rally. That's what Donald, and that's what the presidential rallies are. They're I Love America rallies. We're going to get this country back on its feet. We're going to get you guys working. We're going to bring up the middle class. We're going to secure our borders. We're having a little problem with that, Don. And we need to work a little harder on that. And don't get me wrong, I love this president, and I'll be voting for him again. His records of accomplishment, the baseline, you know, it exceeds anything anybody's done. And he's not kidding when he says that. The border needs work. He's a lot of resistance on the border. And whatever we have to do to support him and whatever he's got to do, we need to do. So it isn't any surprise that the left naysayed and panned this whole thing. And like I said, this idiot Phil Mudd, I never heard of him before. I don't have any idea who he is. Apparently, because of those street creds with 25 years in national security, which started out probably with Bill Clinton, so you got an idea right there what this dude thinks about the country. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And it seems as though, you know, the more people turn these cats off, the more they double down on this, the more shrill and strident they become. Ross Perot, billionaire, former presidential candidate, passed away today, age 89. He had a five-month struggle with leukemia. Perot, who's 19% of the vote, 19%. and that was back in 1992, stands among the best showings by an independent candidate in the past 100 years, died early this morning, Dallas home, surrounded by his family. In business and in life, spokesman James Fuller says, Ross was a man of integrity and action, a true American patriot, and a man of rare vision, principle, deep compassion. He touched the lives of countless people through his unwavering support of the military and veterans, through his charitable endeavors. As a boy in Texarkana, Texas, Ross Perot delivered newspapers from the back of a pony. He earned his billions in a more modern way, however, by building electronic data systems, which helped other companies manage their computer networks. In 1968, Perot enlisted then 33-year-old Wall Street guy Ken Langone. And Ken Langone later co-founded Home Depot to help take this company, electronic data systems, public. He said that, Langone that is, said, meeting Ross Perot was the single biggest event in my career. I'm a better person because he was in my life. Perot's wealth, fame, and a confident prescription for the nation's economic ills propelled his 1992 campaign against President George H.W. Bush and Democrat challenger Bill Clinton. During the campaign, Ross Perot spent $63.5 million of his own cash and bought up 30-minute television spots. He used charts, and I remember this, and graphs to make his points, summarizing them with a line that became a national catchphrase. It's just that simple. And I remember that, too. Perot's ideas on trade and deficit reduction remained part of the political landscape after his exit. He blamed both major parties for running up a huge federal budget deficit and letting American jobs be sent to other countries. NAFTA. The movement of U.S. jobs to Mexico, he said, created a giant sucking sound. Ross was the unusual combination of his father, who was a big, powerful, burly cotton trader, a hard-ass, practical, cut-deals person, and a mother who was a little bitty woman who was sweet and warm and wonderful. Morton Meyerson, the former EDS and Perot Systems CEO, said that Ross was tough, smart, practical, he loved to negotiate, but he had a warm and kind heart, too. I'll tell you something else about Ross Perot. Right before the 1979 Iranian Revolution, the government of Iran imprisoned two of his employees in a contract dispute. Well, Perot wasn't going to, he just wasn't about to leave those guys over there. So he organized and sponsored a rescue team. He hired a retired United States Army Special Forces Colonel, a guy by the name of Arthur Simons, Bull Simons. And when the team, made up of employees with former military experience, was unable to find a way to get these guys out of there, they waited for a mob of pro-Ayatollah revolutionaries to storm the jail where these two guys were and free all 10,000 inmates, many of whom political prisoners. The two prisoners hooked up with the rescue team, and the team spirited them out of Iran through a very risky border crossing into Turkey. Ken Follett, a great espionage and spy thriller author, told about this in his book On Wings of Eagles. They made it into a miniseries. Really wasn't bad at all. But that was the kind of guy that Ross Perot was. And America is greater for having been here, for having had, you know, guys like Ross Perot, and we are the less now because he is gone. Ross Perot, dead today, age 89. I am loath, and I'm really not comfortable with getting ready to talk about what we're going to be talking about. And we have to, because it's big news. I'm not exactly sure what all it portends, but I think it could be a lot of bad stuff for a lot of people high up in the rungs, and that's okay. That's okay, but it's going to be a difficult subject to talk about. So before we do that, we are going to take a little break, And we're going to listen to some music. And we're going to chill out for a little bit. And take it from there, since we're down to the bottom of the hour anyway. We will be back with more of ACP right after this.
We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
A little higher. salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a creek. So you can buy it, go try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde haired, good looking, trying to get me hooked. Want me to marry, settle down, and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay for something wrong, dime gone, will me order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
James Bostic back, a conservative's perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Story of my life, man, way too much. Way too much monkey business. It's Tuesday, and you know, live is how we roll here, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Patriot Nation Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. We also have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. Outstanding program, actually. At the risk of being a bit immodest, perhaps the greatest selection of conservative libertarian talk programming in the galaxy, and I'm happy to be a part of that. All right, it's a pretty big story. It's a pretty creepy story, and it bothers me. Really, it does. It generates a lot of cognitive dissonance in me because this kind of stuff affects me. I am a mean, hateful, furrowed. It's even got its own name, the Bostic brow, the furrowed brow, scowling. You damn Girl Scouts, get off my porch! I don't want your cookies. I'm getting ready to turn a dog loose. I'm that kind of guy. I'm gray pride. I'm old. I'm tired. Get the hell off my yard. So, but when it comes to certain things, bullies, predators. Loathsome people who prey on the helpless and on the innocent. People being mean to animals. People being mean to kids. People being mean to old people. It affects me. It really does. And what happened here, this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, okay, he's a creep. He's a freaking creep. He's been a creep all his life, and he's the worst kind of execrable creep. He's a creep with a lot of money, which means that he can afford a lot of creepiness because he's going to buy off weaker-willed people who aren't going to make trouble for him when he starts flashing the green. Okay? He's a piece of shit. He's a creep. And these guys, like Epstein and his fellow well-heeled, moneyed creeps, they prey on kids. And that's this guy's jam right here. That's Epstein's jam. He has people, accomplices and former victims, who supply him with these underage girls, these kids. He has them hanging out on this island. You've heard about it, the Lolita Express, and fellow moneyed creep, Bill Clinton, been on the plane with him 26 times to this island. Hillary Clinton's been there too. And the allegation is that they go down there and they have these underage kids and they use them as sex slaves. Do whatever you want to them. Doesn't matter. They're disposable. And we can do this because we're kings. We're invincible. We have money, prestige, position, and power, and we can do whatever we want to whoever we want without any consequences at all. I hate these people. I am not a man of violence, truly. I am not. But I could visit violence upon these cats without hesitation. That's how this affects me. And I'm not the only guy that thinks this. I know I'm not the only guy that feels this way. There's lots of people out there that you know, I just mentioned all those things. And you go, God, that makes me, yeah, that just makes me so sick. I hate that. So I know I'm not alone in my feeling. So this creep, this bastard, this slime sack, and this has been going on for a long time with this cat. This has been going on for 10 years. Okay, this goes back 10 years ago in Miami when he got caught doing this. But the prosecutor at the time, the county district attorney at that time, got flashed a bunch of money, got weak, got bought off, took the cash, gives this guy a sweetheart deal, a fraction of the punishment for what he did. Do yourself a favor. Go Google Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, Lolita Express. Just do that. Look at that smug. Just look at him. Look at his face. Smug, arrogant tool. I just want to bury a fist right in the, just right at the nose. I mean, just, so he's arrested. Democrats are getting nervous. Just the other day, Christine Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, tweeted, you know, that this guy had finally been arrested. Everybody's shocked and appalled. He's been doing this for 10 years. It is no secret. All the people that were in the know, they knew. But they're all gonna sit up straight and clutch at their pearls and act like they had no idea about this. Bill Clinton says he's shocked and appalled at the horrific crimes of his former friend that he knew nothing about, Jeffrey Epstein, doing this. So he's been indicted. And, you know, it's been unsealed. And on Monday, the Department of Justice unsealed the indictment against financier Jeffrey Epstein, revealing the sexual abuse and trafficking case against him. He was arrested Saturday, appeared in court on Monday. Pardon me. The U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, the New York Office of the FBI, and the Commissioner of the New York Police Department announced that Epstein was arrested Saturday and charged with sex trafficking of minors and conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of minors. You know what that means? Sex slavery. Trafficking, too sweet, too neutral, too harmless a word. These were sex slaves. This bastard's a slaver. The unsealed indictment revealed key aspects of the case against Epstein, potential charges against his unnamed employees, and allegations of a conspiracy that could ensnare the financier's vast network of powerful contacts. Six key aspects of the indictment, and here they are. Hang on a second. I've got to hit the mute button for just a moment. Pardon me. And we're back. I don't think I did any good, though, but tried to. At least you didn't get to hear it. The first of these aspects of the indictment. Three unnamed victim, unnamed victims. The indictment mentions three unnamed minor victims referred to as minor victim one, two, and three. The girls were as young as 14 at the time, although the indictment does not specify their ages. Epstein allegedly recruited and abused minor victim one in or about 2002 at his home in New York, paying her hundreds of dollars for each encounter and paying her to recruit other girls for abuse. In or about 2004, Epstein directed an employee to call her for more encounters. In or about 2004, Epstein allegedly recruited, abused, and paid minor victim two at his residence in Palm Beach, Florida. She also recruited other girls. In or about 2005, an employee called her back for more encounters. In or about 2005, Epstein allegedly recruited, abused, and paid minor victim number three at the Palm Beach residence. She also recruited other girls. Around 2004, an employee called her back to schedule further encounters. The U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York has encouraged more victims to come forward. The second key point, three unnamed employees. And these employees would have been the ones who would have called the victims that we just talked about to coordinate further sexual abuse. Rape, okay? He's raping these girls. He's having sex with them. They're underage. It's statutory rape. He's raping them. But he's a creep with a bucket full of money, and he's gotten away with it. Number three, the timing of the alleged crimes. The counts against Epstein date from around 2002 in this particular time frame we're looking at, a three-year period, 2002 to 2005. This is around the time of the initial sexual case against him, which started in Ought 5. In that case, Epstein pleaded guilty in 2008 to a single charge of soliciting prostitution from girls as young as 14, sentenced to 18 months in prison, housed in a private wing, served 13 months before being released. He was, however, required to register as a level 3 sex offender, a lifelong designation. Court documents allege that Epstein raped at least 40 underage girls during this time frame. According to the indictment, the abuse number four, according to the indictment, the abuse usually began with the victim being escorted to a room with a massage table. They would massage Epstein and then he would get all worked up and ask him to do more explicit things. You can look at the indictment. Anyway, he's a creep. Number five. Epstein not only paid these girls for the massages that involved sexual abuse, but he also encouraged them to find other underage girls for the same deal. And each one of those three victims that we talked about in the indictment earlier recruited more victims for him. The big thing here, number six, conspiracy. Jeffrey Epstein, the defendant, and others known and unknown, willfully and knowingly, did combine, conspire, confederate, and agree together and with each other to commit an offense against the United States, to wit, sex trafficking of minors, slavery. In other words, Epstein will not only likely remain the only defendant in this case, the indictment mentions three employees with whom he would have conspired, but, and this is where it gets a little heavy, the conspiracy charge also suggests that some figures in the financier's little black book may also find themselves facing federal charges. Donald Trump. They're trying to, and this is where this is getting me. You know, this guy is a Democrat donor. He's a liberal all the way. And what do they want to do? They're going to try and tie Donald Trump, billionaire friend of Donald Trump. But, you know, and that's what they're going to do. That's how they're going to try and work this. Who's in the little black book? Courtney Love, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. Alan Dershowitz has been identified. These people have been identified as a potential material witness. Richard Johnson, Alec Baldwin, Ralph Fiennes, Griffin Dunn, Andrew Jarecki, David Koch, Ted Kennedy. Lots of people. And probably lots of, you know, there are other names I'm seeing here. Of probably very rich and powerful people that we never have heard of. This is a sick thing, guys. And we're going to hear more about it. We really are. We're going to hear more about it. A couple years ago, ACP was involved with the American Brand Radio Initiative. And one of the, you know, co-hosts at that time was Scotty Kesterson. And one of the things that people were talking about that was being dismissed and poo-pooed was Pizzagate. And that had to do with the Podesta brothers, John Podesta and John Podesta and Herbie Podesta, Tom, I think. Anyway, they're close Clinton people, and they were involved in this thing. And just Google Pizzagate. There's a lot of stuff out there about it. We're not going to get into this. We don't have time. But this is where all this started. And what it is, the allegation is, and apparently there's some serious truth to it, there is a large network of rich and powerful people, not only in America, but throughout the world, who are pedophiles. And they're trafficking in these child sex slaves. I've heard other worse things. I'm not going to get into that. Like I said, just Google Pizzagate. Check it out. There is a great deal of evidence that has been accumulated and collected by the FBI. Some of it to the point where FBI agents, after viewing and reading the, you know, the stuff that they've confiscated and collected from laptops and desktops and computers and everything has physically sickened some of them. They'd have to leave the evidence room and go to the restroom. That's how terrible this stuff is. These are kids, America. And it's going to be up to conservatives and Republicans to do something about it because Democrats don't care about kids. They don't care about kids. Oh, they cry crocodile tears in empty parking lots over how we've got kids in concentration camps. I use my air fingers quotes. Kids in concentration camps while they stand on the bodies of children aborted after birth. Don't tell me liberals care about children. They treat them like a commodity, just like these creeps, like Andrew Weiner. Oh, God. Anthony Weiner, excuse me. These are terrible. Terrible things that are getting ready to be made public, that are going to be revealed. And it's going to include people that we will be shocked, I'm sure. Whatever it takes, however we must achieve it, these people should not go unpunished. You can fleece the country for millions. You can betray your constituents and give them the dirty end of the stick. You can make believe that you're the most beloved and generous philanthropist on the planet. But if you hurt kids, God have mercy on you. But I don't think he will. And I hope that we as a country, as men and women who love kids, who have kids, you know, have children of their own, grandchildren, nieces, nephews that they love, we need to make sure that these people are held accountable for these crimes. We need to make sure that in this case and in subsequent cases, as there's going to be more, that justice is not that which you can afford. But that justice is served. Man, I'm glad to get that over with. That, like I said, this stuff bothers me really badly. And I'm probably going to spend the rest of the evening trying to flush this out. And we're going to have to talk about it some more, and I'm not looking forward to it, but we will. And we're going to run this to ground, just like we do all the other stories, try to run it to ground here at ACP. We're live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com. We have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out over Mojo50.com. That's where you go. They have a forum. They have blogs. You can get in touch with the hosts. You can get in conversations. We had a bulletin board. We all have our own pages there. Stop by. Say hey. We'll be glad to see you. Cowboy Logic Restoring America Forum. Admin on that page with good friends, Don New and Donna Fiducia. Check that page out. Awesome. Talk America Radio, West Virginia. Talk America Radio, Texas. Also, a couple of pages that ACP is affiliated with on Facebook. Thank you, Penelope. That's all the time we got. God bless you. God bless America. We'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you guys then. Take good care.